I want you to turn to John 16. What we read there. Verse 26 and 27. John 16, verse 26 and 27. In that day you will ask in my name. And I don't say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. No. For the Father himself loves you. That's what he was trying to tell them. He said, I don't have to pray to the Father. You fellows can go directly. Go in my name. Of course, Jesus is the mediator between God the Father and us, because we can't come to him without being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But I want to encourage all of you, my brothers and sisters, to know the love of your Heavenly Father for you. It can change your life as can change mine. It's not a new message. I preached it here for 28 years. The thing that changed my life was when I discovered that the Father loved me as he loved Jesus. And that the Holy Spirit has come into my heart to assure me of that. He loved me. Why? It says here. Verse 27. For the Father himself loves you, not because you're good, because you love me. And you believe that I came forth from the Father. And I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, do you love Jesus to the best of your knowledge and ability? Maybe a little bit, maybe a drop, not an ocean. Doesn't matter. At least a drop. Do you believe that he came from the Father? According to this verse, the Father loves you. We may think that can't be because I'm so bad. God's not like earthly fathers. You've heard me say that many times. If you being evil, the best earthly father is evil, but God is a good father. Jesus lived in that security. It didn't matter if everybody left him. He was secure. And therefore, his life was centered in the Father. He knew that if the Father... Now, listen to this. Because Jesus knew that the Father loved him so much, he knew that it's only by doing everything that the Father said that he could have a wonderful life on earth. I mean, think if your children, you who are fathers and mothers, if they could only believe that everything you tell them is for their good. Can you imagine how protected those children will be from dangers and many things that you seek to protect them from? But how are a lot of teenagers today? They think their dads and moms don't know. They're old-fashioned. They don't understand us. And so they go and do all types of stupid things and they mess up their life, which they would not have messed up if they would only have listened to their father. Now, Jesus had no such problem with his father. He was absolutely secure. I know my Father loves me, so if my life is centered in the Father, that'll be the best life I can live on this earth. That is the result of knowing that the Father loves me. Now, there's a need for me to say that, because a lot of television evangelism today stops with telling us that the Father loves us. The most favorite message of American charismatic TV evangelist today is that God loves you tremendously. Full stop. It doesn't stop there. If that is true, like it was for Jesus, then you would center your life in God. And the end result is a lot of the television evangelists go on from there and preach a man-centered gospel. That because God loves you, he wants you to give you houses and cars and lands and... The whole thing is man-centered, and a lot of people can't see it. They can't see through it. If you don't believe me, if you have a habit of watching these television evangelists, just concentrate on that and see if you ever hear a message where they tell you to be centered in God. Think of his glory and his name. No, it's not. Everything is... You are so important and you are so precious and you are so valuable and God will do this for you and God will do that for you and God will do the other thing. God is like a, you know, this Aladdin's lamp. Have you read the story of Aladdin's lamp? You rub it, whoosh, the genie comes and
What do you want?
Anything. You want a palace? You want a... And it's the same old story. It's just you replace the genie with God or Jesus. And he's there. And it's this man-centered gospel is the reason why, despite all the messages you hear, you're still defeated by sin. You can't get victory over anger. You can't get victory over bitterness. You know, that's one of the things that's grieved me. As I see so many believers who have been here, believers for so many years. So many, many, many years. And they've got long faces. They're sour. They've got grudges against people. They should have been some of the sweetest saints in India. But they're not. They've got grudges, they've got bitterness, and it's written all over their face. I mean, they think they can hide it in their heart. You cannot. I want to tell you a little secret. What's in your heart is written all over your face. Other people can see it. It's, you know, if you're the angry type of person, it's written on your face. If you're a proud type of person, it's even written in your eyes. The Bible says that about haughty eyes and haughty looks and... I'm sorry to say that we have a younger generation growing up like that, and it's a great grief to my heart to see that. It's very sad because their life is not centered in God. It's this man-centered gospel they're listening to from American evangelists, TV evangelists. All wonderful messages. They like all the way all those people are so dressed up in such posh dresses, and they want to dress like them, and they see all these grand church buildings where they meet, and it's all so wonderful to the eyes. What's the result? Are you getting victory over your anger, your lust, your bitterness, your love of money, and all the things the New Testament speaks about? No. I have one bit of warning to you if you take it. Don't be deceived. You can take it or leave it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But if you want to make use of you got only one life. You can't afford to make a mistake with this one life. You can't afford to make a mistake. You've got to recognize the secret of Jesus' life was. He wasn't asking the Father for cars and houses and lands. He was asking the Father how to please Him. He struggled in Gethsemane for what? What did He fast and pray for 40 days for? Nothing earthly. His life was not centered in Himself. He wanted to know how He could do the Father's will. He prayed a whole night once. For what? To find out who could carry on the leadership of His work after He left. Where are the people nowadays who pray like that? They've been taught by all the TV programs they see and the videos they see to pray for themselves. And to think and invariably material things. And what's the result? The worldly people get material things. You think worldly people don't get married? They get married. You think they don't have houses, lands, cars? They've got a lot more than the best Christians I've ever known. When God loves us, if I really believe it, and I believe it with all my heart, and therefore I know that no matter how hard I try, I cannot make a more perfect plan for my life than the one my Father in heaven has already made for me. That is the very best. And I have no complaints. And if I ask Him for something and He doesn't give it to me immediately, I say, my Father, I'm willing to wait. Can you wait if, supposing you have a physical infirmity? You have a back problem or an arm problem or some other problem, and you prayed and prayed and God never answered you. Can you still find a security in your Father and say, that's okay, Father. The greatest thing in life is not to be free from back problems and arm problems. The greatest thing in life is to do the will of God. And nothing in earth can stop me from doing the will of God. Not even ill health. That's security. Jesus' life was so centered in the Father that because he was secure in that love. He knew that never, never, never would the Father forsake him. And it's wonderful. I thank God for that security that's grown in my own life, and I wish that for all of you. That you would know that in no circumstance would the Father ever forsake you. Dear brothers and sisters, live in the center of His will. Live in the center of His will.